Morning. I hope at least somebody's listening. So here we are, doing something completely new. I have to tell you, I have had a bad case of the nerves this morning. I can speak in front of 200 people, no problem. But put me in front of a computer screen and all of a sudden I'm nervous. So we'll give this a shot. I'll let you know ahead of time I planned on preaching from the pulpit this morning at the church. But this week we worked really hard on fixing our internet service at the church. We have really slow internet. And Tony, one of our members, worked really hard with all the different companies. But we just don't have better internet available where the church is. So I'm at home this morning. I debated just preaching in my pajamas with a cup of coffee, but I decided you deserve a button-up shirt this morning. And I even have dress pants on. I'm not sitting here in my sweats, just so you know. So this is what we're doing this morning, kind of a fireside chat with Pastor Shane. I don't know what we'll do in the coming weeks, but here we are this morning. Couple things I want to let you know. First of all, we're going to be doing a question and answer session after the sermon. I'll go ahead and give you what I've prepared this morning. And then afterwards, we'll open up the comments for anybody who wants to kind of ask some questions about the sermon. Now, I've never done that before, so it might be a disaster. Not exactly sure, but we'll give it a shot this morning so we at least get to interact some of the time. So I will basically be ignoring comments until we get finished, and then we'll do some question and answer. Other thing I want to let you know is go ahead and get your Bible out. Just because you're home this morning and I can't see you doesn't mean you shouldn't be opening your Bible during this time. And so go ahead and get your Bible out because we're going to be going through Scripture this morning like we always do. And so, man, I think that's it. So let me start us off with a word of prayer, and then we'll jump into what I've prepared for a sermon this morning. Father, as we come today, I just ask for your guidance in everything that we're doing. Father, I ask that you would just be in this. It's not what we usually do, and it's very different for us. Lord, we thank you. We live in a time where we don't have to be in the same room in order to interact and talk with each other. That's a huge blessing right now during this time. Father, I ask you to listen to you. You have the whole world's attention right now. And so just help us make the most of that as your people. Lord, let us just speak about your word and your truth and your salvation in the midst of the chaos we're in right now. Lord, bless our time this morning. I just ask that you would be in all of this. Lord, I just ask that you reach out and touch everyone with your spirit, with your word this morning, that we would feel your presence even though we're scattered into all of our different places. Father, speak through me. I'm being challenged this morning out of my comfort zone and did never sign up for this when I answered your call to be a pastor. And so I just ask that you would strengthen me and calm me and bless this time this morning. We love you. We thank you so much for your love for us and your salvation. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. I wanted to share with you recently, my daughter Faith has been having these bad dreams. In fact, you could call them night terrors. She will wake up usually within an hour or two when we put her to bed, and she'll wake up just really scared, really frightened. And she'll be calling for mom and dad, and sometimes she'll just run downstairs if we're still downstairs. And she's not even crying most of the time. She's just kind of shaking because she's so scared. And it doesn't matter what you say to her. It doesn't matter if you tell her, hey, it's okay. It was just a bad dream. None of those things settle her down. There's only one thing that can settle her down. And that's just taking a minute and cuddling up with her dad. I can sit there with her for, 15 minutes, 10 minutes. And after a little while, I look down and she's smiling at me and just ready to go to bed. And so that's the one thing that comforts her. And what I find interesting about that is that in the midst of that situation, her peace doesn't come from any kind of knowledge. She doesn't, realize that it was just a dream, that everything's okay. We can say those things as much as we want to her, and she doesn't really realize it. She doesn't understand it. So her peace and her comfort doesn't come from all that understanding. It just comes from her dad holding her and taking care of her. And so in the midst of this chaos and this situation that we're in, I realized that I probably err to the side of the person who doesn't take all of this serious enough. But even in the midst of that, I've found myself being uneasy, scared, worried, just anxious in the middle of all this. And even afraid. I've been afraid and not proud to say that. And not as much afraid of a virus or a sickness. Been a little bit afraid of people. You know, if people can get in a fist fight over toilet paper, what else are they capable of? And so it's felt a little just chaotic in the world right now. And so what we're going to do for the next two Sundays, for today and next week, we're going to do just a short two-part series. And it's called A Life of Peace in a World of Chaos. A Life of Peace in a World of Chaos. And today we're going to be talking about John 16, verse 33. And you can go ahead and turn there in your Bible. Today we're talking about John 16, 33. And then next week, we're going to talk about Philippians 4, 6 and 7, two of my very favorite verses, especially in times of chaos and fear and anxiousness. And so today we'll be in John 16, 33. We live in a world of chaos. We've known that for a long time, but it's just obvious right now. Even when we're overwhelmed by all of it, there is peace that can be had in the arms of Jesus. So that's what we're going to talk about today. So if you look with me in John chapter 16, verse 33, very short and sweet, but very profound. John 16, 33, this is Jesus speaking. And he says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. You will have suffering in this world. Be courageous. I have conquered the world. Be courageous. I have conquered the world. Now, Jesus starts off this passage by saying, I have told you these things. So it's kind of like a therefore. Remember last Sunday we talked about whenever there's a therefore, we need to know what it's there for. This is kind of a similar situation. Jesus begins this verse by saying, I have told you these things. And so we need to know what it is that he told his disciples leading up to verse 63. Now, there is a lot. This is actually a message that Jesus has been preaching for three chapters. 14, 15, and 16. But I want to draw your attention to one place specifically, a few verses that come right before this verse. If you look in John 16, verses 25 through 28, Jesus says, I have spoken these things to you in figures of speech. Now, that's all of his sermon that he's been preaching so far. He says, I have spoken these things to you in figures of speech. A time is coming where I will no longer speak to you in figures, but I will tell you plainly about the Father. On that day, you will ask in my name, and I am not telling you that I will ask the Father on your behalf. For the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and have come into the world. Again, I am leaving the world and going to the Father. These verses are really rich, and there's a lot in there. Essentially, what Jesus is telling his disciples is that their belief in him, their acceptance of him as the Messiah, their belief in him is giving them and will give them, after the cross and the resurrection, access to God, a kind of access that is completely unprecedented in the history of God's people. Now, the words here can be a little bit confusing, so I want to share with you what it is Jesus is talking about. Before the access to God that God's people had came through the sacrifices of the high priest in the temple or the tabernacle. Now, once a year, on the Day of Atonement, the high priest would go into the inner sanctuary, the Holy of Holies. The temple was set up with different outer courts, and as you got closer and closer to the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant was, they were more and more reverent in their worship. And there was a curtain that separated the presence of God from the people of God, from Israel. And once a year, the high priest would offer a sacrifice and go into the presence of God for the forgiveness of sin, for the cleansing, the washing of God's people. So once a year, the high priest would enter the sanctuary, the presence of God. Now, Hebrews chapter 4 and 5 tell us very clearly that Jesus is now our high priest. Jesus is our high priest. And he does something incredible, something that no other high priest can do. Now, in light of what we just said about the temple and the Holy of Holies, I want you to look in your Bible to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27, at the end of that chapter, now Jesus has gone to the cross. We have the whole story of Jesus on the cross, and we come to the death of Jesus. And we see in in Matthew chapter 27, verses 50 and 51. This is the death of Jesus. It says, "But Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and gave up his spirit. Suddenly, the curtain of the sanctuary was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth quaked and the rocks were split." You see, now Jesus isn't simply a high priest that offers sacrifices for us, that goes into the presence of God for us. Jesus is the high priest that actually brings us into the presence of God. He is that final sacrifice. That's why that curtain is torn in two. No longer does there need to be sacrifices over and over again for the sins of the people. Jesus is that ultimate sacrifice, and the curtain, what separates us from the presence of God, is torn in two. He brings us right into that presence. He opens it up to us. Now, I want to show you something in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 23. It says, "Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have boldness to enter the sanctuary through the blood of Jesus, he has inaugurated for us a new and living way through the curtain, that is through his flesh. And since we have a great high priest, Jesus, over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and from our bodies washed in pure water. Let us hold on to the confession of our hope without wavering, since he who promised is faithful." Understanding these things, what Jesus has already said and taught his disciples, this is everything that leads to this conclusion, to this verse of great peace, to John 16:33. It's these things that we talked about that lead us now into this verse. Now, if we go back to John 16:33, we ask the question, peace or suffering, peace or trials, peace or difficulties. And the question is, what would you rather have? Now, this verse is all about a contrast. If you look back in your Bible, there's three things that are contrasted really clearly. One is in me, and one is in this world. Are we in Jesus or in this world? The second one is that you may have and you will have. There's something in this verse that we will definitely have, but then there's something else that's available, something that we may have. And finally, the big contrast between peace and suffering. Peace and suffering. So the question is, would you rather have peace or would you rather have suffering? That seems like an easy question, right? Each one of us would say, well, we'd rather have peace. But many of us, all of us, have chosen to live a life of chaos instead of peace. Even though that's what we want, that's not always what we've chosen. You see, you may have peace, but you will have suffering. I don't know if you picked that up in that verse before. You may have peace, but you will have suffering. Notice that the suffering is guaranteed. the suffering is the part that's guaranteed. Now, that's a promise from God that we don't make into pretty plaques and hang on our wall, do we? I don't remember the last time I walked into a brother or sister's house, and up on the wall it says, "And the Lord has promised you will have suffering." That's not a promise that we talk about very often, but it's clear in John 16:33 that that's for sure. That's the one thing that we will definitely have. We will have suffering. Romans chapter 5, verse 12 tells us why. It gives us the reason. So if you turn in your Bible to Romans chapter 5, verse 12, it gives us the reason that we, in this world, will definitely have suffering. It's a promise. It's a guarantee. Romans chapter 5, verse 12 says, "Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, in this way death spread to all people, because all have sinned." We will have suffering because Adam sinned, because you sinned, because I sinned. We live in a broken world. That's obvious right now, isn't it? We live in a broken world where there is suffering. That's a guarantee. But peace is available. If we continue to read in Romans chapter 5, it tells us in verses 17 through 19, it says, "Since by the one man's trespass death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive the overflow of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? So that, as through one trespass there is condemnation for everyone, so also through one righteous act there is justification leading to life for everyone. For just as through one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so also through the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous." Suffering is in the world, but peace is in Christ. Suffering is in the world, but peace is in Christ. Suffering is guaranteed because we are in this world. We live and exist in this world. This world was first broken by Adam's sin, but it continues to be broken because you and I sin, because sin continues. In this world, you will have suffering, but in Christ comes peace. And the peace comes only in Christ. How are we in Christ? We all know how we're in the world, right? So what does it mean to be in Christ? And that's what he goes on to say is, take courage in the conqueror. Take courage in the conqueror. Jesus says, be courageous because I have conquered the world. Be courageous because I have conquered the world. Take courage in the conqueror. This verse is actually the conclusion of a long teaching of Jesus. This is his last lesson, chapters 14, 15, and 16. I encourage you, after we get done today, to go back and read all of those chapters, chapters 14, 15, and 16. Jesus has been teaching his disciples for a long time now. This is his last teaching, last session before he heads to the cross. And he ends by telling them, be courageous. Don't be afraid. Be courageous. But more importantly, he tells them why they should be courageous. Why should they be courageous? And he says, I have conquered the world. Now that is an audacious statement. First of all, he says, I have conquered the world, that it's over already. It's done. I have conquered the world. But he says that knowing that before this night is over, he will be arrested, he will be mocked, he will be beaten and spit on, he will be whipped, he will be hung on a cross. That's what the rest of his 24 hours holds right now. And yet he says, be courageous, because I have conquered the world. That doesn't seem right. Leon Morris says, the cross would seem to the outsider to be Jesus' total defeat. He sees it as his complete victory over all that the world is and can do to him. He goes to the cross not in fear or in gloom, but as a conqueror. Now, I know you don't have that on a on a screen behind me this morning, so let me read that for you one more time. The cross would seem to the outsider to be Jesus's total defeat. He sees it as his complete victory over all that the world is and can do to him. He goes to the cross not in fear or in gloom, but as a conqueror. He goes to the cross as a conqueror. On the cross, Jesus conquered sin and death. We can be courageous because he's conquered the world, the sin of the world, the death of the world, the suffering that is in this world has been conquered. He is the conqueror, so we can be courageous. I want to go back again with all that understanding, and I want to read to you John 16:33. Think about all the things that we've talked about. Jesus says, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. You will have suffering in this world. Be courageous. I have conquered the world." I go back to my story of faith. Not believing faith, but my little girl faith. She started having her night terrors, these horrible bad dreams, less than a week after I had my seizure, broke my shoulders, went to the hospital. That's when this began. I was still in the hospital or just gotten out. And Stephanie and I, of course, were at home, and we had a family reunion planned in Breckenridge. And so Grandma and Grandpa Hellman and Stephanie's folks came and got the kids and said, "Hey, after all this, we should still go to Breckenridge. We'll take the kids. They can swim, they can play, and they can just, you know, get away for a little while." Well, it was, I think, the first night up in Breckenridge that Faith woke up screaming and scared. And I can't imagine how hard it was for that little girl, 4 years old at that time, to, you know, hear the paramedics in our house, to see how scared her mom was, to see her dad laying in a hospital bed, not able to move or do anything, and then to be gone and away from her family. And that's when that started. That's when this fear and these bad dreams and these night terrors started. And she didn't have them for quite a while. She had been really good. But I think everything that's been happening, all the things that she hears about a virus, and she knows she's not going to school anymore because, you know, people have told her it's not safe to go to school. So those things have kind of started up in her again. And so I want to share with you that I am a really good dad. Seriously, I love my wife and my kids unconditionally. I would give my life for them without a doubt. I would do anything I can so that they would live life in peace, be safe, be courageous, that they would be strong because of our household and because of what I provide for them. That's my desire. But I am painfully aware that I have not conquered the world. In fact, probably more often than not, the world has conquered me over and over again. I have not conquered the world. And as much as I desire to offer peace to my children, I know that I can't give them complete peace. That's beyond my ability. They can not have perfect courage and perfect peace because I have not conquered this world. I don't have that strength and that power. I don't understand everything that's going on and everything that's happening right now in our world. I wish I had perfect answers for all of you. I wish I could say, "Hey, here's what's going on. Here's what God's doing." Just hang out and wait because this will all come to fruition exactly the way that I've told you it is. I don't have that information. I don't have that wisdom. I don't have that knowledge. But I know One thing that I can definitely tell you, I know the secret where peace can be found. In the midst of all this, in the chaos and everything that's going on, I know where peace can be found. In fact, I know the only place where peace can be found. In the presence of God. In the presence of God. And there is only one way. Into the presence of God. Into the Holy of Holies. And that is through Jesus. So what does it mean to be in Christ? It means recognizing our sinfulness and our need for a Savior. It means recognizing Christ as that Savior and his sacrifice on the cross as our punishment. It means recognizing his resurrection as our resurrection to brand new life as children of God. As the scripture tells us, we are seated with Jesus in the heavenly realms as children of God. And once we recognize all those things, we confess our sins. We ask for that forgiveness, for that sacrifice to be applied to my life and to my sins. And we ask for that salvation through Jesus. That is what it means to be in Christ. And that is the only place where you're going to find peace. Not just in the midst of this, in the midst of a pandemic, in the midst of everyday life, and all the things that scare us. You probably heard over and over again during this time all the other statistics. You're much more likely to die in a car accident. You're much more likely to die of of cancer. I haven't looked at the statistics, but you may be much more likely to die from falling off a ladder. I don't know. But during this time, you've probably heard all of those things. We need peace, not just right now, not just today. We need peace every day. Before all of this coronavirus stuff happened, we still lived in a world of chaos. We still lived in a world of suffering. We still needed peace. The only place that peace is found is in Christ. In this world, you will have suffering, but in Christ, you may have peace. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him. The only way that we can find, the only place that we can find a life of peace is in the presence of God in the midst of our chaos. Amen? Let me close this in prayer. Heavenly Father, in the midst of all this, I thank you that you give us perfect peace. I thank you that you have conquered the world. We know without a doubt that all the brilliant minds that are at work right now in our world doing their very best to conquer a virus, with all of their technology and all of their wisdom and all of their education, they still have not conquered the world. We're not going to find peace in the Center for Disease Control or the World Health Organization. They can't give us peace because they haven't conquered the world. Father, I ask that in the midst of this, you continue to protect and watch over our state, our community, our country, our world. Lord, we know that we live in a world of death and suffering, but Father, please overcome that. Please watch over our loved ones. Please end this suffering and the time we're in right now. But Father, most of all, just give us peace in the midst of it. We know that it's a guarantee this world's going to be hard. There's going to be trials. There's going to be suffering. There's going to be hurts and pains. But we know that you are the conqueror. And we know that we can live with courage. And so, Father, just fill our hearts with that truth. Just let that fill us in such a way that our lives overflow that courage and that peace that we have in you, because you are our Savior. You are the one who has conquered this world. And Father, I ask that in that peace, you would give us strength, wisdom, and most of all, just a desire and a passion to share that peace. There are neighbors and coworkers and family members all around us right now, Father, who are afraid, who are scared. I picture my little girl just shaking because she doesn't know what's going on. She's so scared. Father, even though they might not show it on the outside, we have friends and co-workers and family members who are shaking, who are trembling in the midst of this time and this trial. Father, we have peace. We have the answer. Father, give us a passion to share that. Give us a passion to tell everyone that the Messiah has come, that Jesus has come to forgive us of our sins, to cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness, to bring us into the very presence of God. Father, give us a passion to tell those around us that they can curl up in the arms of Dad. And they'll be okay. They'll be okay. Father, empower us to share that message in all that we say, in all that we do, in our world of chaos. Let our life of peace not just be for us, let it be a life of peace that shines in the darkness all around us. We love you. We thank you. We praise you. We worship you. We curl up in your arms and love you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Amen.